Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I always wonder about that. Like, I always
the
feel
pit
like
the game's gonna be weird.
The pit one's always weird. It's always like the sleepy. There's 25,000 people there. Although for Notre Dame, I would imagine it's packed out. And then Syracuse at home at Stanford. I think the interesting question for me is how many games can the Irish lose and still be a playoff team? Two? I feel like in this year's schedule,
who do they lose to, right?
But I feel like with this year's schedule, they're actually going to be afforded a little bit more grace than last year.
I agree. And, you know, Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois last year, so you could not lose another game. And their biggest win of the season happened in week one against Texas A&M. So let's say they lose to Miami, beat A&M, and then lose to NC State. I think at 10-2, they could probably still get in.
You're not hosting
a playoff game.
As you and I said, obviously a lot of this depends on what is everybody else doing. But if you told me a 10-2 Notre Dame was out there, I think that it's entirely reasonable that they're in.
And I think, too, what's going to help them is if they beat Boise State, Boise State probably is going to win the Mountain West and has a good chance of being the G5 representative again. So that's helpful. Navy, as silly as it sounds, they're probably going to be like a 10-2 football team this year. When you look at what they've got coming back, they have that big game, as we've discussed, on Thanksgiving in your neck of the woods against Memphis. USC, I think, is a team that, you know, I think could be decent. So my whole point of doing this exercise was like, if Alabama and or Notre Dame hits at quarterback and both of the guys they're expecting to start were either a 5-star in Ty Simpson or a high 4-star in CJ Carr, who's now been in the system for 2 years, like if they can overcome their current ranking, which is 36th and 64th respectively at the quarterback position, I think Alabama and Notre Dame, if you just look at the talent that's on their roster outside of quarterback, which is a talented player, but an unproven talented player, I think those two teams could be pretty fascinating based off of the talent that seems to be surrounding the quarterback position.
All right, I got a would you rather.
Okay.
Would you rather bet on Ty Simpson with Grubb, or would you rather bet on Gunnar Stockton with Mike Bobo?
Ty Simpson.
I can't decide if I'm being stubborn because I agree with you.
Real quickly, I just want to point this out. And once again, recruiting rankings can mean diddly and squat, right? We've seen,
you know, quarterback, the NFL can't figure out how to evaluate quarterbacks. Like, right. How the heck should I expect colleges?
Right. I totally recognize that a 5-star recruit could be terrible. But it is worth noting of the 5 teams that mentioned, Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, Oregon, Duke, and Notre Dame. Julian Sayin of Ohio State, 5-star recruit. Dante Moore of Oregon, 5-star recruit. Ty Simpson of Bama, 5-star recruit. CJ Carr, high 4-star. And then Gunnar Stockton of the 5 was actually the lowest rated recruit. Now, once again, what does that mean? Nothing. Cam Ward was a zero-star recruit and ended up being the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. So I'm just using it as a reference point that based off of projections out of high school, Gunnar Stockton, while not a bum, he was 110th best recruit per 247 coming out in 2022, but he is of the five, the one that is, I guess, would have the most questions, if that's fair.
Yeah, but he is also the best dog of the group.
And he plays for the Dogs.
That's, well, he's a good dog. He's been a lifelong dog. You can't take that out.
It is interesting to look at the talent, and Georgia, based off of projections, you look at that, the numbers, and you're like, wow, that's not that, like, overwhelming.
Yeah, I was actually surprised when you were reading position groups, and I'm not saying Phil's wrong. I do think what you saw last year with Georgia, when they're healthy, they're still scary.
Oh, yeah.
But they have nowhere near the depth that they have had during the two title run.
The wide receivers were wildly underwhelming.
I would argue bad.
The running back room was not good. ETN was banged up. And heading into this year, this is, according to Phil Steele, his rankings on Georgia positions. 10th in running back, 8th wide receiver, 20th O-line, 12th D-line, 7th linebacker, 7th in DBs. Like, for Georgia, that's bad for Georgia.
Yeah, no, I feel like most people that are following the SEC are penciling in Texas and Georgia as two for sure playoff teams. I'm fine with putting Texas there.
Georgia lost 3 first round picks off their defense.
And I think there's this idea, and I get it, his personality's not likable. But I think there's too many people that are thinking that you get addition by subtraction getting rid of Beck.
I think we've talked about it on this show. I actually think
Miami's getting slept on for that reason.
I do.
I agree with you.
We went through the David Hale article, man. It's like his numbers actually weren't that bad. They were pretty comparable to Garrett Nussmeier a year ago.
I'm with you. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's get into the list. Also, Wes Reynolds of VSiN is going to join us to discuss the U.S. Open as well as Game 4 tonight of the NBA Finals. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called the list. Let's fire it up. Pat McAfee. Tim, I wanted to get your thoughts. So yesterday from Andrew Marchand of The Athletic, we got the report that says following a missed appearance by Adam Schefter in March, he had essentially been banned from the Pat McAfee show. Schefter yesterday either things were smoothed over, there was no ban, which I find it hard to believe with Marchand because Marchand's an excellent reporter. The ban was either over, but for whatever reason, Schefter showed up yesterday. Mm-hmm. Also, on McAfee's show, he seemingly calls out the rats at ESPN, the executive team, that were leaking stuff to Marchand. So I had a couple of thoughts on this, and you tell me if you agree.
By the way, can I just jump in?
Yeah, absolutely.
The one thing of worth note about the Schefter ban, Ian Rappaport made 17 appearances between Schefter's last appearance and his appearance yesterday. So while I know Mr. McAfee, and I don't care one way or the other about a ban of Adam Schefter, but to your point, I think Andrew Marchand was correct in that Adam Schefter had ticked off McAfee and he didn't have him on the show.
Correct. So there were a couple of things here. Number one, according to Marchand's story, the ban occurred because during free agency, I think it was the opening day of free agency, Pat had personally requested that Schefter come on the show, and because Schefter was doing the ESPN free agency frenzy or whatever they called it special, he could not do McAfee. So my first thought was, did Schefter say, I'll do the show? Because to me, this is really weird. If Schefter says, hey, I've got the TV thing, but I'll do the show, and then ghosts him, okay, that's one thing. But I also think it's super weird if McAfee was just mad that he prioritized the free agency show over his show. It also was unclear to me, and I don't know if you read it differently, it was unclear to me that Schefter confirmed that he would do it.
Correct. That, from the article, it doesn't say that Schefter said, I'll do the hit, and then didn't do the hit. Once again, you and I have been in this business long enough. It happens. Like, I've been stood up by friends. It happens. Like, oh, I forgot, or something came up, and it plays into, as I'm sure you'll discuss here, the perception of McAfee on air is probably is pretty different from what it is behind the scenes.
Yeah. Now, I would also point this out. I think there's still some people at ESPN that think they can get McAfee, and I think that they are stupid.
Repeat that?
I think there are still people at ESPN that think that they can get McAfee, and I think those people are stupid.
I agree. Look, I'll just say this about Pat McAfee. Not my cup of tea. I respect the hell at what he's done. He's built an empire, man.
And like, my thing with McAfee is I don't really like his show all that much. I like Pat McAfee.
I think he's grown. You know, it's funny because like I had McAfee on
back when he was like at ESPN
when I think he was like at Barstool. Maybe it was like, but he was only at Barstool for a very short period.
It was about 18 months.
He recognized pretty quickly that he could kind of do it on his own. And that takes some, you know what? And I don't know if he was at Barstool or if he was in between. It was before he had signed with FanDuel, but he was doing some sort of like, you know, hey, does anyone want to interview Pat McAfee deal? And I, my producer was like, yeah. I was like,
yeah, we'll take
Pat McAfee. And he was great. He was awesome. And I still think, I don't know what to make of Pat McAfee, to be honest, because I respect the hell out of what he's built. It's a little bit of a tough listen with like the straight up all the time bro-ness.
It's less about the bro. This is my personal opinion. I don't love the buddy-buddy with athletes, and I'm not saying, oh, in our position, you shouldn't be friends with them. Like, I just don't find it interesting. Everything comes... I'm out on the whole, like, players are, like, these victims, and we should always take their side. Like, I just don't find that to be true, but I also don't find it to be interesting.
Well, and also, I mean, I understand, and we've all been in scenarios in this line of work where you have someone on to interview and you've got to decide what you're going to do with that interview. And if there's a question that you want or don't want to ask, and if that will kind of shut it down. And that is all to say, he kind of let Aaron Rodgers do whatever he wanted. And should he have pushed back at different point? He never really had follow-up questions to call him on his BS. He just kind of let him just go.
Yeah, I think, though, the problem with that
He also was like, Aaron Rodgers probably would be like, if you call me on my stuff, I'm just not going to come back on.
Well, I think the other thing is there's also a weird relationship in which Aaron could be considered an employee. He was paying him $1 million a year for the appearances. So are you really going to go after someone you're paying?
Yeah, no, it's a good question.
I mean, right? You know what I mean? Like, and my thing is, many people that like have problems with it. From this isn't journalism. Well, no one ever said his show was journalism. He's never said, like, I have no problem with that. Like,
is Stephen A. Smith journalism? I mean, I know he was a journalist. He's not one anymore. Is Mad Dog Russo? You know,
Journalists can do sports talk, but I just don't think of sports talk as journalism.
Yeah, I agree.
Like you can have segments that maybe like are journalism, like journalistically inspired, but like I don't think of this medium as pure journalism. in the end, it's opinion. It's speculative. Like, it's not just laying out these facts did or did not happen. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's kind of what sports talk radio was and has morphed into more of a talking point from a television standpoint. But I guess overall, so the Schefter thing jumped out and then he goes on the show yesterday. What was your biggest, because I read the article yesterday, what was your kind of biggest takeaway from it?
I think there are still people that at ESPN that think if the right story comes about, they can get rid of him. And I just don't think that's going to be the case. I think Pat McAfee is going to have to do something a whole lot more. Like, Pat McAfee is going to have a real scandal. But I think this idea that, like, oh, even if he's shunning Schefter, the golden boy, I don't think that's ever going to matter.
Well, I would say,
keep in mind, right, him and Stephen A have a pretty contentious relationship, and it doesn't matter.
Well, I would also say McAfee plays up the ESPN's coming to get me card.
No, he definitely is a wrestling character.
When,
yeah.
Like when Rich Eisen, you know, his show got acquired by ESPN, right?
Yep.
And he, I think that day kind of made him like, oh, they're trying to replace me. And like, dude, no offense to Rich Eisen. His show is like the opposite of yours. Like it's
yeah,
you
and I had the exact same reaction. And I think the other problem is it seems to be I don't necessarily think like ESPN views it as like I mean, you saw it the same way that I did. Number one, what is the overlap of people that listen to both Eisen and McAfee? Like I would imagine it's pretty small. Now, I think the other thing is I don't think ESPN views it like as time slots anymore. It seems to me that ESPN is trying to acquire as much content as they can to cast as wide of a net as they can to drive people to this new app.
Yeah, totally. And they're trying to, you know, for the most part, the McAfee show is one that you can consume later in the day. There are some things.
I would also kind of argue Rich's show's the same.
Oh, Rich's show for sure. I mean, a lot of it's like celebrity interviews and stuff like that. Now, back to the Stephen A. point. I do think there's some frostiness there, and I think it's this is all speculatory. I think it's more on the Stephen A. front. I think Stephen A. is jealous of the meteoric rise of McAfee. He's newer to the scene. He's making probably comparable, if not more money than Stephen A., and I think it's pretty interesting, and we didn't talk about it on this show. My boy Cody Decker, whew, that did not go well. His show got... Him and Michelle Beadle got canceled for Stephen A., which is now going to be a direct competitor.
Yeah, I guess I should say I'm sorry for your buddy. As a lifelong not a fan of Michelle's work, I was fist pumping.
I mean, I'm just happy for Stephen A. He just...
it was good. I mean,
He needs another job. I felt bad. He wasn't working enough.
I do find it fascinating that one of the big changes I've seen of ESPN, I don't know if I've ever talked to you about this. Forever, it was ESPN's bigger than talent. It worked a lot.
Yeah.
Didn't always work. The idea that ESPN was bigger than Dan Patrick didn't work. ESPN wasn't bigger than Colin Cowherd. ESPN was bigger. Yeah, Bill. ESPN was bigger than Michelle Beadle.
Sure.
Then we can go through the laundry list of people.
Oh, there's plenty that they are bigger than.
Correct.
I have a story of someone that I know, wouldn't say he's a friend, but was working at ESPN. Had a contract negotiation, basically said, I want more money. They said, no. He said, all right, well, then I'll leave. They said, there's the door.
Correct.
But with Van Pelt, with Stephen A., with McAfee, that's kind of your trio? Well, Schefter, mate? No?
Schefter's in like a different category, but Greenberg. Greenberg's another one that they shoved down our throat. But what I've noticed recently is, have you noticed how many ESPN talent are doing ads and not ESPN ads? Like look at how often like you're seeing ESPN personalities that are doing ad campaigns. That used to never happen. So they seem to be open to that. But what really has shocked me is on this Stephen A. thing, ESPN's not a part of this.
Right. They have ESPN Radio still.
Correct.
You guys run it.
And he's doing everything
SiriusXM
outside of it.
Yeah. And like, I'm not aware. I think they're kind of in cahoots with Peyton and his Omaha production, I believe.
Yeah, but, I think they're in business together, but like, because Omaha's done other stuff outside of ESPN.
Right, because SVP and Stanford Steve, their podcast is now an Omaha production. Initially, it was an ESPN thing.
I think Mina's now is Omaha.
So I'm sure there's a, but to your point, it does feel like forever, hey, you do ESPN television, you do ESPN radio.
Yes.
You could write for our website. You can't do anything else anywhere.
They weren't even allowed to go on other shows. And that screwed us because while we're an ESPN affiliate, it's not like they have any impact on us. Like, trying to explain to people how affiliates works takes way too long. But like, to let people know, they have nothing to do with us other than that's we run their national programming when we're not on the air. But because of the letters ESPN behind our name, we couldn't book guests from out like. Because ESPN pissed off so many of the other sports companies by not letting their people go on their shows, they wouldn't let them come on our show. It's like, we're an affiliate. We're not even, like, oh, God, it was so frustrating.
Oh, it was very frustrating. And I would say this. I'm not going to pretend to know the inner workings of ESPN. It does feel like Jimmy Pitaro running things over there has, I would say, benefited them in the sense that, you know, Stephen A. does other things. Pat McAfee works for WWE, right, as well. And I almost think that's a... they've changed their perception a bit. And they've tried to, right? From being kind of the squeaky clean to...
Well, I think they've also thrown their hands up. I think there's a tacit acknowledgement of, we can't build stars anymore. Because if you look at it, what they're also doing is... they're licensing. They're basically becoming like a marketing company to a certain degree. Like, for inside the NBA, they're not running it. Mm-mm. Like, that's the other thing. It used to always be, if ESPN acquired something, then it became an ESPN production from the sense of their people ran the show. Like, you had to use all of their behind the scenes, everyone. Now, they're just, like, they license McAfee's show. They're going to license Rich's show. They're going to license
inside the NBA.
Like, now... they're almost just becoming like a, it's almost like they're, and I guess this is probably their design. They're, it's almost like a variety. Like, it's like a house to have, like, if you're, it's like, I get a, you're the comedy store and all the comics are coming in, like, they're just coming to your venue, but they're doing their thing. You're just a place, you're a place for them to congregate.
I would say they've realized that SportsCenter, even though Van Pelt has become a star, and his SportsCenter, to me, I and I'm a bit partial. I don't know SVP personally, but I think that's the best show on television right now.
Well, this is the funny thing, because we got to take a break to get to Wes.
Yeah.
What we were discussing yesterday, with everyone, like, nobody really knowing how this inside the NBA thing's going to work, like, you know what the best post-game show on ESPN is?
Van Pelt.
Yes.
He's great.
Well, I mean, and like, so like, but that's the other thing. It's like, if inside the NBA's best thing is post-game, which is my opinion, I think that's what they do the best.
Mm-hmm.
Are we just dumping SVP? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how does that work?
That is a very good question, and I don't know the answer to it.
All right, let's take a break, and let's get Wes Reynolds on the program. U.S. Open currently ongoing. We'll get his thoughts on how to play this thing out, because I guarantee there's a lot of names up there that you don't know. So Wes will tell us how he's handicapping it. He's also went to game 3 of the NBA Finals. He's going to game 4. Looking forward to talking with Wes next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what?
Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
ESPN.
Wes Reynolds is VSiN's golf handicapper. He's also going to be in the building tonight for game four after being in the building for game three. But let's start, Wes, with some U.S. Open before we get into the NBA Finals. When you look at this leaderboard, where do you think the lead actually is right now?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and thanks for having me, guys, because it constantly seems like it's changing here with the guy that looks like he's running away from it, but it's the U.S. Open now, after all. So I think that the lead probably is legitimately where Sam Burns is.
So three under.
That's where I would say three under, because I think like everybody that's within about four or five shots still much in this thing, because I was thinking before the tournament that this was maybe going to be around one under or even par was going to be the winning score in this thing. And I still believe so. I think it's going to get even tougher, even if we get some weather over the weekend, which you would think would soften up the course, but it's not going to soften up the greens because they have that sub-air system there at Oakmont. So these greens are going to be fast. I think the greens and obviously the fairways, being that they have 5-inch thick rough, have been the real difficulty for these guys. And that's why you see these guys make so many bogeys. You just got to avoid as many as possible. I know, easier said than done here at Oakmont.
Yeah, I think the other thing, to your point, I prefer the old style of kick their ass U.S. Open. Like, that's just, I enjoy watching it. I enjoy the mental struggle of it. But I also acknowledge with the equipment the way that it is, there's only so much they can do. But I've seen a lot of people getting upset on Thursday and Friday. But I keep like reminding people, guys, they have to get 156 guys throughout the course. They've got to make it somewhat playable. But I really do think they're going to crank it up tomorrow. And so like that's kind of the interesting thing of at this point, where would you start? What's the number where you start to think, okay, that's probably too far back?
Yeah, looking at it right now, and I think you're absolutely right in terms of the course. And by the way, this is not a super long course.
No, it's like, it's only playing like, I mean, I get it's a par 70, but what, I think it's only playing like 7,300?
Right. And look, you can only lengthen the course so much. You know, they thought Aaron Hills was going to be, too
How'd
big
that
for
go?
These guys. And these guys all shot like 15 under par several years ago. So when I'm going down the leaderboard, I think probably you're looking somewhere, I think like 3 over might be the cutoff, which is bad news for me as one that did have John Rahm. But you've got some big names there at 4 with Rahm, with Morikawa, with Scottie Scheffler. But I think it's going to depend on where these guys finish. Like if they're 2 co-leaders, J.J. Spahn, Tristan Lawrence, you know, kind of scuffle down on the back 9 here, then I think probably 4 over might be the cutoff. I think 7 back is, I just don't see anybody, coming from 10 back on this golf course.
What do we make of Victor Hovland? He's been pretty consistent, Wes. 71 yesterday, 68 today.
Did y'all see the 4-hole stretch of 17, 18, 1, and 2 since he started on the back? He went eagle on 17, bogey on 18, birdie on 1, double bogey on 2.
That's a Rory Masters.
Like,
right?
That was like a perfectly. It's like he's just committed to a balanced lifestyle. That's even par through those 4 holes.
Yeah, but look, with Victor Hovland, and he's my best shot at an outright win, at least pre-tournament. Had it a little bit better, leaked a little oil late, but that's what you're going to do. But a good sign, I think, if you're a Victor Hovland backer. Right now, number 1 in strokes gained approach. Obviously, the late flight has to complete their round this afternoon, but has gained almost 3 shots. Very good around the green, too, and that is always the weakness of Victor Hovland. Is around the green, he has difficulty chipping and pitching out of those like tight lies and short grasses. Well, by the way, at Oakmont, you don't have those.
He can putt,
you
baby.
Have a bunch of thick crap around the green and a bunch of mush. And Victor Hovland has been saving pars, and he's hit 75% of his greens through 2 days, 27 to 36. And these greens, even though they're big, they're not easy to hold because of the slopes that go in various directions off the green. So I think Victor Hovland is in very good position. I know he gave a couple away late, but I still think he's going to be in the mix right to the bitter end on Sunday.
How seriously should we take J.J. Spahn? Because I think maybe casual, if you're just someone that watches the majors, there's probably like, who's this? Like, what? But if you've been watching the tour this year, he's had a very good year. And they even mentioned in his interview yesterday, this is the first time he hasn't had to qualify into the U.S. Open. His play has gotten him automatically in. I keep watching him, and yes, I know he holed a bunch of putts yesterday, but he is kind of doing the stuff that is effective at the Open. He just kind of hits the fairway, he's hitting greens, and then if he happens to roll one in, great, but if not, it's just kind of like a lot of fairly stress-free pars.
Yeah, no question about it, and I know the resume looks a little thin for J.J. Spahn, considering he only has 1 career win. He did go to the playoff with Rory McIlroy at the Players in that Monday finish, but this is a guy that is number 5 on the PGA Tour this year for strokes gained approach to the green, which means his irons have been absolutely on point. He is 12 strokes gained tee to green, so he's not a complete, I think, he might not be a household name for casual fans, but for people that regularly follow the PGA Tour or bet it week to week like I do, you absolutely know who this guy is. So I'm not banking on him like totally collapsing. I'm not saying he's going to win, but I think he's going to stay in the mix throughout the weekend.
Wes Reynolds hanging with us. You can follow Wes on social media at WesReynolds1. He's my colleague over at VSiN. We're going to get to Game 4, which he'll be in attendance at tonight as he is the pride of Indianapolis, Indiana, back home to check those out. All right, we got to ask about Scotty. You alluded to you don't think that he probably can overcome where he's at. So today, shoots a 71. And what did you make of his round today? And, you know, we always kind of bring up Tiger now with Scotty. Does he have enough this weekend to overcome and make a charge, or do you think he's just too far back right now?
Well, the fear factor, Tim, is absolutely for real with him, because we've seen if he's kind of close by or not really right there but not too far back, he's always the danger man. And he gets in 1 over, I thought was a lot better today in terms of hitting fairways, because yesterday he just did not hit enough fairways, and he didn't hit a lot today, but I thought didn't get in as much trouble certainly as he did. The putter actually saved him. He was kind of a net zero on the putter yesterday, and then gained 2.5 strokes to get in at 1 over 71 for a 4 over grand total. But I don't want to rule him out because I've done that before and have paid for it dearly, but that's a lot. It's going to be hard. It is so hard to come back in a U.S. Open unless the field kind of comes back to you. So maybe that's what's going to end up happening. Somebody's going to be four or five back and then just keep making pars. You know, I'll take them all day. 18 of them, as Don Johnson said, in Tin Cup. And that's what you're going to have to do, I think, on the weekend at the U.S. Open, and hope these guys make some big numbers, make some squares, some bogeys, and come back to you. But no, I don't think he's coming back. Famous last words from me.
All right, boys, I made the cardinal sin of live betting. I convinced myself when I saw Victor and I saw Brooks at the top of the leaderboard, I was like, oh, this is actually kind of playing like Oak Hill did a couple of years ago. And I saw Brooks at like plus 780. He then chips in, and as I'm trying to live bet it, it goes down to 695. So I have a horrible price on Brooks. But do I have any reason to hold on to this ticket the rest of the way, or should I just immediately try to figure out how to hedge here?
Well, I hesitate to say, you know, give it up here because this is the U.S. Open. But he did kind of fall back. That's what happened to my Rahm ticket today.
Yeah,
I thought Rahm was in great position. And then he ends up just being an absolute horror show on the greens, despite the fact that his ball striking was amazing today and falling back. So, yeah, Brooks right now is at two over. I still think he's in this. And the reason why is because nobody seemed to really pick him this time around. We know he's in vogue in every major. He's won five career majors, and Brooks prioritizes the majors more than everything else. And he did not get a lot of chatter coming in because he's not been, I think, in peak form. So this is like where he delivers when the expectations are low, right? So that's why I'm very reluctant to tell you to like burn that ticket necessarily.
All right, let's get to you got any more U.S. Open, Jeff?
No, I was going to say, who's the bigger – Wes, what are your bona fides? What's your record inside Gamebridge? Because an angle that Tim and I have missed is
Caitlin Clark
7-0, I believe.
Yeah, 8-0 actually now. 8-0, and, we'll see if she's there tonight because she's got a game day tomorrow because she's actually going to play, which means I'm actually going to go. Because
nice.
That means people will actually watch.
Well, that's how you find, as you pointed out, Wes, that's how you figure out who a star is, if people will go and sell out the arena, right? So that's why Tyrese Halliburton, in the eyes of some legends, is not a superstar, right?
Yeah, that's what they tell me, Tim, about that. But we'll see how it goes tonight. But certainly number 22 in the building piqued mine and everybody else's interest. So we'll be in Grainbridge again tomorrow.
All right, I think let's start with tonight. I believe also, Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the over keeps moving up, so I guess everybody's just hammering the over. But Tim and I have kind of discussed how this does feel like, for a game four, like, man, it feels like the series kind of hinges on this game. Is it going to feel like that in the building?
Oh, I believe so. I would say maybe cautious pessimism,
sure.
I guess, because this is... This is certainly the spot for Oklahoma City, right? We know the zigzag has been like 65%. However, that's being priced into the number. Like,
sure.
I don't think you can lay Oklahoma City 6 or 6.5.
It's the struggle I have, too. I'm right there with you. Like, I think Oklahoma City is going to win, but, man, when you're asking me, do I want to go to the window and hit that, I do not.
Not facing the cockroaches.
No.
Yeah, you're like, they're like telling us that, okay, they would be, what, like 12 at home. If home court is 3 points, I could tell you it was a lot more than 3 points on Wednesday night at Gainbridge. We'll see how it is tonight. A lot of stuff going on downtown this weekend. But, yeah, like, I think that you're paying the tax here, considering it was 9.5 in game one, and then it went to 11 in game two, and, yeah, they won comfortably, but then they inflated the number in game three. So they're asking a lot for you. So I think the best way to attack it, maybe you can attack the total. I'm personally waiting for an in-game under because I think that this might, if this is close length, then I think it's going to die a little bit where you're getting the full 24-second possession.
Yeah, I can see that.
Or even if it's a blowout, like let's say the Thunder do blow them out and they're up 20-plus with 5 minutes left to go, then you're going to see the starters go out for the Pacers like, okay, discretion's the better part of valor. We'll go to game 5 in Oklahoma City on Monday night.
Yeah, the way I bet it, and We'll see if it bites me in the butt. I laid 3.5 last night in the first half. OKC 5-0 against the spread after a loss in the first half. But to your point, Wes, you're paying a tax. It wasn't as taxed as game two was, which I think you had to lay 8 in the first half and 11 for the full game. I guess when you look at Indiana from Wednesday night, Wes, and this is the only game in the whole series where you only get one day off, is that good or bad for Indiana that there's only one day in between these two games?
I think it's probably a net zero. It might be better for the Thunder in the fact that you want to get that stink of that loss off of you. So you want to get back out there. So I don't think it's necessarily negatively going to affect Indiana. Now, it'll depend a little bit on how healthy Miles Turner is, because he was not 100% on Wednesday. Still had 5 blocks. Didn't give him much scoring and rebounding, but certainly gave him something defensively. But look, this game 4 of the NBA Finals, man, unless you're like strapped to a bed with an IV and you're going to go. Okay, you're going to play.
There's a needle for that. Like, suck it up, buddy.
Yes, you're going to – yeah, he's going to play. You know, it's not – somebody even described it as like a cold. I'm like, no, he's not going to miss with that. So he's going to play tonight. But I think it's good to get back out there and you know, they're ready to go. I think the city is fired up, and Oklahoma City knows now that they're in a real series. You know, they can't be front runners anymore. And I'm not disrespecting them.
No. I think that's a very fair point to make.
They did win 68 games, right? So you don't win that by accident, but a lot of those games were comfortable. And when it gets late and it, you know, and it's, you know, kind of crunch time here, they haven't delivered in the close games. The Pacers have been the more trustworthy team, and we've even seen it in the playoffs, you know, with when they played the Grizz in the first round. Even though they got a sweep, those games were like life and death in games 3 and 4.
If Ja doesn't get hurt, they would have gotten blown out. This is the question that I had, because you were in the building. What changed from the Pacers' perspective? Why were they able to get into the paint more than they had in the first two games?
They certainly made a focus of it, and I think that they had multiple ball handlers. It wasn't just Tyrese, because we know Tyrese had a difficult time because they were picking him up like full court. It wasn't just Tyrese initiating the action. They let Pascal Siakam initiate a little bit of the action and really exploited the mismatches, because I thought he was even more the key than Tyrese Halliburton, who certainly got all the discussion leading into it from the national media types on the four-letter networks. But, you know, it was Siakam that was initiating that, because not only there were times where he had SGA guarding him, which is a mismatch, a bigger guy against a little guy, but also they put him in at center with the second unit, because Pascal usually plays a few minutes with the second unit in the second quarter, and they put him at center, and Hartenstein was mismatched on him. So he was able to get to the paint, and he was able to initiate action, and I think that's really what they have to do. Now, we'll see what the Thunder does if they try to give them a taste of their own medicine and pressure them a little bit. Like, I think that's going to affect TJ McConnell maybe a little bit more, because McConnell got to the paint, too. It wasn't just Tyrese. It was McConnell. It was Siakam. It was Nembhard. It was so many guys, and that's why I thought you saw the Thunder team kind of run out of gas a little bit late.
Wes, we really appreciate it, my man. Good luck tonight.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is Wes Reynolds of VSiN. We come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got to go to Dan Mullen. When discussing why he liked the UNLV job, the facilities here blows away anything that was at Florida when I left. I didn't want to have to come into a program that you had to build from the ground up. We have a great stadium in Allegiant. We were a game away from the college football playoff last year. So when you're starting to check boxes, you know, facilities, check. Stadium, check. Opportunity to win a championship immediately, check. Great place to live, check. Really good schools for my kids. I want my family to grow up here, check. I just love UNLV, better facilities than Florida. And I do also love, like, that is just him continuously, like, stabbing Florida in the back, like, just grinding that knife of your facilities still suck there.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, you can confirm it's a great place. You can confirm it's a great place to live. Minus the prevailing heat.
Yeah, it's going to be like 108 today, something like that.
Yeah, but it's dry heat.
Yeah, dry heat.
All right, my man, let's enjoy the weekend.
All right, see you, dude.
That is Tim Murray. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends.
For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.